everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, we are in for a very fun episode because I have the privilege of sitting with PJ Dutoy, who is currently the director of global retail concepts at the LEGO Group. At this company, he leads creative thinking across multiple functions to develop retail strategies, designs, and implement solutions. His work involves collaborating with cross-functional teams across LEGO Retail, LEGO Retail Development, and LEGO Agency. He oversees development of LEGO's new cross-channel retail platform, which focuses on creating unified retail models to deliver sales-driven, immersive brand global experiences. Now, I'm going to challenge anybody in the audience that says they don't know what LEGO is, hasn't played with LEGO. It is one of the success stories, I think, of cross-generational retail. But really excited to dive in with you, PJ. That was a super high-level introduction. So maybe you can tell the audience a little bit more about you, your background in retail, and your role at LEGO.
Yeah, no, thanks, Melissa. I'm PJ, originally from South Africa, Cape Town. Grew up, born and bred, proudly South African as well. Immigrated to the UK, 2019 now, so nearly, just over 6 years. I think from the outset, retail was always my love, my passion. I studied architecture for a number of years and then realized that quite wasn't really for me. And I needed to get something that was a bit more fluid, a bit more creative, a bit more cross-functional when it came to creative skill sets and expressions. Mm-hmm. And retail design for me was my home, you know. So I've grown up on the agency side. I've done a lot of work consulting to both brands and retailers and agencies. But now I just find myself in-house. My home is LEGO. I'm the cool dad in the class, right?
And, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, and I have a lot of fun in what I do every day. So it's a privilege and a brand that I'm really, really proud to be part of.
Yeah, I love everything that you've been bringing to the table. I had the privilege of seeing your presentation at Retail Spaces, and so excited to share some of that with the audience and, you know, the perspective you've been bringing to the brand. As I mentioned in the beginning, everybody knows what LEGO is, and I love that you said you're the cool dad in the class because every kid loves LEGO. But at Retail Spaces, speaking of this, you presented, your presentation was called Putting Play to Work. And so let's start with that, right? What does that mean for LEGO as a brand?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's intrinsically, I think, putting our money where our mouth is, really. You know, looking at play, being inspired by play, being inspired by kids, their behaviors, the idea that mm-hmm. play creates imagination, it creates solutions, and taking that thinking into something a bit more strategic when it comes to store format, store design, looking at experiences, looking at build outs, looking at fixture sets, and really looking at the behaviors of LEGO when it comes to configurations, options, assemblies, you know, looking at that type of mindset into what we do to get the most out of our real estate, making sure that we deliver across all the high engagement points in store for both young and old. And then more importantly, looking at sort of that commercial backdrop, ensuring that, you know, mm-hmm. moving products that we're creating what I call retail solutions. So really making solutions work for ourselves harder, answering operational requirements, demands, in-store challenges, you know, and really, you know, bringing that creative thinking and energy into what we do when it comes to store design.
Yeah, well, you talk about you don't think of yourself as a retailer at LEGO, right? And so I think it's interesting that you presented that presentation with the title Putting Play to Work. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the strategies you take in terms of keeping play at the forefront, but then balancing that out with some of the other attributes that you're talking about, understanding operational strategy. And then I'll layer in another layer to that is also having that formula for success of creating these cross-generational retail experiences that resonate, whether, you know, it's the first time playing with Legos as an infant or an adult, and there's this nostalgic thing that you're tapping into because you bought the latest Star Wars Yoda figure, for example.
Okay, so in terms of Lego not seeing itself just as a retail, I think it's important to note that at the heart of Lego is play and creativity. Mm-hmm. We are definitely a feel-good brand. We pride ourselves as always being up there in terms of the world's most loved brand every year. And we really want to keep creativity, play, the idea of play as the heart and the focus of what we do. So as much as it is about commerciality, it is about moving product, we really want experience and engagement to be at the heart of what we do, right? Particularly in the retail setting and within the retail mm-hmm. concepts. It should be as much as about the focus or on experience as it is about transaction, right, and path to purchase. So a lot of what we do around minifigure scene settings, IP usage, IP management, tentpole, right, mm-hmm. all of this good stuff, you know, leads to engagement, time in store, play as well, play activations, you know, behaviors mm-hmm. in store, so that human element as well, you know, so... all of this good stuff leads to good experiences, good conversions. For some of our more bigger, more premium stores, it's about destinations, creating destinations, mm-hmm. attractions as well. There's so many multiple layers in what we do, but trying to be consistent as well across all different store types, from our latest and greatest and flagship environments right through down to obviously what you would see in your typical groceries, hyper, and toy specialist.
Yeah, and I'm seeing even more and more in airports 100%. Too. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I mean... Yeah. And I think am I making this up in my head? Lego vending machines too?
There's a lot going on. we're lucky enough to have our own real estate, you know, which is managed and operated. Mm-hmm. And then we have partner setups as well, you know, as well as obviously B2B. So what we call, more the hyper grocery mass market kind of iterations, you know. So there is a lot. There's a lot to think about through the line, you know, making that seamless connection between different store types. Mm-hmm. expressions, campaigns, you know, and making sure that we design platforms that are relevant and that can execute and that we can deliver the kind of behaviors that are required, depending on obviously what we're tackling. We definitely see our stores as recruitment vehicles globally, right? These are, you know, a primary touch point in terms of attracting low affinity audiences, but also capturing and mm-hmm. and engaging and retaining existing, you know, client base as well, or audience base. So, the whole idea of physical retail being experiential, being an opportunity to really engage. Typically, you know, a parent might be going in for a gift, looking for a certain IP, but they might be coming out with something else because they didn't know, oh, wow, there's Ninjago or Monkey King or City or, you know, whatever it may be, you know. So our range is vast, and we're trying to leverage our real estate as an opportunity to present that to our audience.
You mentioned expression, and it's true. You have Legoland, you have Lego hotels. Most recently, you had Lego. You fully built a full-size F1 car for Miami, which I know our audience is going to know more about. But how are you working in partnership also with your counterparts, right, across the brand levels and making sure that there's good synergies with those larger than life experiences that are happening and those various expressions of the brand and then tying that to the in-store experience?
100%. And I think they all work in tandem. Yes, the big models, the big scene settings, the collaborations with the different partners that we have are hugely important. They do create those moments of delight, energy, excitement. I think there's very much a strategic drive around partnership, particularly when you look at sort of the success of Formula One and what that's driven. It also allows us to play outside mm-hmm. our lease line, our typical lease line, being at track mm-hmm. in this instance, right? Taking product to market, delivering an engaging brand-driven experience with a understanding of mm-hmm. how to sell products within those environments as well. And then collaborating and overlaying, you know, the experiential piece the campaign piece, the activation piece as well, so that it is unified. It's got a singular tone of voice, and we're sending out the right kind of message.
Yeah. So layering it on top of that, you've talked, you know, there's different store formats. You have flagships, then you have vending machines, you have hotels, there's retail components to that at Legoland. Then there's all these partnerships and campaigns you're doing. So it would seem even more important. I mean, it's important for all brands, but having scalable modular design. So how do you approach that? How do you approach creating consistency, yet modularity and scalability, and really endlessly flexible retail format?
That's a loaded question. There's a lot in. I think by foremost is understanding what our tool set is, right? And then understanding how we can extract the modularity out of that. Okay. Consistency, ensuring that we're delivering the right level of experience across the globe, no matter what the region is a market. Ensuring that there's always that added layer of localization as well, and building that localization aspect into whatever we're doing. In terms of creating a clear framework to work around as well, to ensuring that we get the most out of our assets or fixture real estate. It really is about defining the components and what they do and how they behave, but also building in what I call top-up. So less is more, keep it simple, stupid. Right. During that there is flex in what we're creating. I keep telling my team at the end of the day is that we don't own any of these assets. We need to create something that's smart enough to be able to hand over for other teams to run, own and manage and curate and bring to life. Right. Because a fixture is a fixture at the end of the day. But it's the content and the overlay of messaging, communication, backdrop, models, merchandising, etc. You know, all these sort of intrinsic elements that bring IPs, products, latest and greatest to life, to present newness and you know, whatever the campaign might be, right? In terms of designing for modularity, it's very about, as I said, about the interchangeable elements. And in terms of scalability, we're all about, componentry that gives us the most, value for money globally, right? So what you would see in a flagship, you are most likely going to see in your local, what we call community store as well. So there is that consistency in terms of fixture sets and asset set, both on the fixture and on the digital side as well, right?
You mentioned localization, and that's a consistent theme. It's not a new theme, but I think you're hearing it more and more from the consumer side too, kind of gravitating to that and appreciating that connectivity. What approach do you and your team take to make sure that that's showing up in an authentic way, right, as you're bringing localization into the store experiences?
Collaboration. That's the key thing, and making sure that we've got everyone around the table. And it's a very much a sensitive topic in terms of ensuring that we are representing that localization piece in the most authentic, genuine, and respectful way, and to avoid obviously situations that could be conceived as inappropriate or disrespectful and that type of thing. So we're definitely luckily enough for as a brand that we are, and we have representation in most regions. You know, we are able to lean on colleagues and partners. To get their view, to get their input, to sense check, you know, what the content that we're creating. But also, you know, we do have go-to themes, particularly around the generational pieces, around like the humor that we can obviously, you know, attract mom and dad to, but the visual language very much talks to the kids, you know, color, energy, excitement, fun, humor, silliness. You know, we are a toy brand, and we need to ensure that we deliver, you know, that fun in store, you know, and I think deep down, not take ourselves too seriously. Right.
Yeah. And so along the way, you're constantly kind of introducing new concepts for play. What is your test and learn strategy as you introduce those? What are you measuring? And then how are you deciding no, go, go?
Rollout in terms of testing and play particularly, it's really putting what we do in the hands of the user, right? Lego are quite conservative when we bring new ideas to market, in the sense of we want to do our background check first. We want to do our homework. We definitely start small, right? We're very much around creating a clear hypothesis in terms of what's next, right, and what we're trying to achieve. Early engagement and stakeholder management, and making sure that we've got the right people around the table in whatever that we're actually trying to execute and deliver. There's a lot of reflection. We do a lot of talking, a lot of deliberating. Lego is an organization where everyone has a voice, everyone has an opinion, which I really love, because you do get to see ideas come to life or even get killed quite quickly, you know, because, you know, better than having just my head on the table, it's having everyone around the table. That makes sense. We are still a culture that, although we are quite conservative when it comes to risk, we are a culture that entertains risk, right? It's a safe space to try new things as well. And I think that's really important no matter what we do. You know, whether it's a new digital concept or a new fixture solution or a new way to build stores or light stores or whatever, you know, we're very much challenging ourselves as there's more than one solution to anything, right? And as an organization, it's definitely a safe space to try things. And it's okay to fail, right? Because you know you've got the support and the backing of leadership and the teams around you. And then I think once it works and once it's been tested and once it's been trialed and value engineered and re-engineered, right? You know, it generally falls into, you know, we look at how we can bake it into standardized recipe cards, what we call store recipe card formats, and then the green light is given, and then it generally will be something that will be implemented globally. There are localized nuances that we do consider in terms of audience and behavior, and we definitely look from an audience perspective, but we are also looking at it with a through-the-line thinking on a global level. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's important that you can have that iterative process and always testing, because the consumer and the landscape's evolving so quickly all the time. One thing that's unique, I think, about Lego versus, you know, some others that we've had on the podcast, where there's, you know, if you're in apparel there and you're kind of benchmarking, right? You're starting the customer, you're also always benchmarking what's happening in the world. There's more intuitive adjacencies, like these are the brands I'm studying. For Lego, it's such a unique brand. You don't really have direct competition in that sense, as far as like what you're competing against to earn time and wallet share. What do you study as a global head of retail for
Lego? Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, right? Especially within the toy category, right? We are leaders, obviously. We are in a position where we can explore, and we're getting better at exploring and being more investigative in terms of what we can do outside of our lease line, as I said, which is the exciting part for me. We are all constantly measuring ourselves against best practice in different categories, right? And there are brands that we aspire to and look up to. Because we know that, you know, there are aspects of our retail that needs improving, particularly on the experiential side. A constant challenge for us is that balance between engagement and experience, and the territory that requires in store to be compelling, versus obviously the commercial drivers and outputs that we need to deliver against as well, and that takes up space, you know. So. It's a constant debate that we're trying to get right, I say, but also creating stores that are fit for purpose, that have longevity and purpose, right, and that can kind of hold their own, which, you know, which is, I think, just a natural part of the brand and ethos of the company as well.
Yeah, you also have a unique opportunity when you talk about like how you're entering people's lives. There's play, but there's also education, especially if you think about the up and coming Gen Alpha, right? And I even think of my daughter's school, like they have an opportunity if it's raining out to go to recess or have Legos. They're as they're learning STEM, as they're learning coding, as they're learning a lot of these things, there's Lego is the brand that's being introduced into a lot of that education. So how do you think about that and the opportunities around, you know, you're entering a child's life from multiple lenses, really, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I like to ask you lots of questions. Right.
I think in terms of kids being a foundation for play, I think digital doesn't and the idea of digital and obviously the world we live in today, I think physical play is always the primary, right? Hands-on is always the primary because that in itself stimulates creativity. There's different play types that now come into effect that, you know, influence the brain. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the science behind that because I'm not the expert, right? But all I know is that it's really good stuff, right? And not only just for kids, for adults too. I think in terms of the world we live in and the technology and the digitization of our lives, I think that needs to enhance and not replace, right? And I think that's a critical strategy in anything that we do. You know, the role of gamification, you know, the idea of you know, app-driven play, which is very much around, you know, lateral thinking, creativity, problem solving, you know. And I think that should always be at the forefront of play and harness in what we do. But I don't, I mean, there will never be a substitute for brick in hand, which is something that we really pride ourselves in, that we are such a physical, tactile brand, right? You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's great being a part of a brand that is that resonates so strongly with education, right? And that it has such a positive effect on whoever is engaging with the brand. But that also means that there's a lot of pressure, you know, to maintain the reputation, maintain sort of the level of interactivity and engagement and passion and ensuring that we keep our number one spot as the world's most loved brand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, you are in my household. I don't know what I would do with more Legos in my house if my daughter asked for it, but it is, I sometimes volunteer at the school library as well. And, you know, I watch the when they're learning how to think and STEM and coding and all of that, Legos, the brand sitting alongside of them in that educational process. And it's the same brand that she's sitting with at night when she's building little worlds with her friends. So your ability to entrench yourselves in their mindset and be they have such loyalty is tremendous. So we're almost at time, but two questions before we go, because you're a forward thinking individual. What are you excited about? Like when you think of the next 2 years and you think of the brand and you think of the store experience, what are some of the things that you're excited about or keep you up at night?
I think 2 years, so short term, definitely the role of digital and how that's going to enhance what we do. I think in terms of playing outside the lease line, which I've mentioned a few times, I think that's really exciting. You kind of start to see the fruits of that as well. Mm-hmm. So just getting out of our traditional retail spaces. Sustainability, I think, you know, it's always a big agenda and discussion points within the company. We are a plastic company, but we're working really hard in all areas around sustainability, looking after the planet. And that's something that we really pride in ourselves and take a lot of passion and energy into. I think community, definitely bringing, you know, Lego to more kids, more families, ensuring that, you know, we're delivering, you know, that play experience, that engagement, and hopefully building passion for the brand, you know, in all corners of the world. So I'm really looking forward to seeing us pop up in regions where we haven't explored before, right? seen the effect that that has. Mm-hmm. In terms of 5 years from now, wow. I think it's more. Yeah, exactly. It's more experience.
The sky's the limit.
So, using our real estate as recruitment vehicles on all levels, physical, digital, cross-generational, making sure that we stay relevant and audience focused, okay, and keeping our eye on the on the target, being strategic in what we do, even more so around the whole idea of customization and how we can bring customization into store, and new ideas and I think concepts around customization, and. Yeah, I mean, I think just looking to increasing our greater retail footprint, in all regions, and looking at our real estate and I think challenging ourselves and being critical of ourselves to maintain the standard and hopefully improve on where we are today.
Yeah, so much to look forward to. I think 2 years is going to happen tomorrow. Things evolve so fast, but everything you talk about, I think, resonates with the audience. A lot of conversation around community, but how do you do that in a meaningful way? Customization. I think this up and coming generation, they're going to be so used to being able to be co-creators. But I think that's a huge opportunity for Lego, especially as a brand, to have this audience that's craving that and you be the brand that's able to deliver that to them. So much to watch. But thank you so much for spending the time. Half an hour goes so quickly. Everybody, again, this is PJ Dutoy of Lego. Follow him on LinkedIn. He's often giving talks and sharing his knowledge. So I think you can continue to learn from him. And we are all excited to continue to watch what Lego brings to the table, whether it's within the store or outside
the
lease line. So thank you again. We'll be right back.